Welcome back to Atlanta Sales Talk Radio, and this is your host, Steve Cadley, and I'm very excited to be here again with my co-host for the time being, Mr. Stone Baton. Stone, say hello.
Well, hello, Stone.
Thank you very much. Throwing me off already.
Well, good afternoon. No, thanks for having me. I got to tell you, though, I'm very excited, and I know that I'm not going to be doing a lot of co-hosting with you going forward because we got other things that we're going to be doing at Business Radio X, and you're going to be carrying the torch on your own, but I got to share with the group, and I don't think you know this either, but yesterday we hung the Business Radio X sign at right there in the front big window at the old Macy's building at 200 Peachtree. So very exciting time for us at Business Radio X.
You know, I got a chance to see that picture. I saw the press release, as a matter of fact, that went out on that, and it's beautiful. It's right next to the giant Christmas tree bulb that's sitting right on top
of
that.
Is the press release out already? I did not know this.
Well, I saw it as a picture. So I saw the picture of Business Radio X right downtown.
Isn't it cool?
Very cool. Very exciting times here for Business Radio X, and very proud to be a part of Business Radio X as the Atlanta Sales Talk Radio Show. So I'm very excited again to have a wonderful guest with us today. Talking about all things sales is Karen Cook, who we'll be getting into, and she'll be sharing a little bit more about what she does. And I think you've been on some shows. You've been doing a lot of broadcast and radio
in
the past.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have, Steve. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's welcome to have you. And I must say that you are a very good voice today, by
the way. Merci beaucoup.
I don't speak German, so
that's enough. That's French, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Very French. Okay. Very good. Appreciate that.
Is this the way it's going to be?
Yes, the whole day.
Okay.
All right. So with that said, so as a little bit of background to the show, so all of our guests, I'd like to share this, is that, you know, our focus audience and our audience that usually tunes in is vice presidents of sales, chief sales officers. And so hence the name, Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. We talk all things sales and marketing. And we have some very exciting shows, but I thought this show would be really kind of interesting because of the industry and where and how you sell your services. So if you would, Karen, tell us a little bit more about yourself, and then we'll get into...
Well, I'm an actress. I've been acting full-time 17 years. I've done jobs all around the world. I do print work as well. You've seen my new headshots. I just gave those to you, Stephen.
Beautiful, stunning.
Thank you.
We have this digitally, so I can put them up on the show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Outstanding.
And I'm from California originally. And
California girl.
Yeah, military brat. My dad was a Marine.
Wow, Semper Fi, appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 11 schools in 12 years. So I think that kind of spurred me along to be able to, because each school was kind of like a new audition, you know, kind of like that.
Wow, I never thought about it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, build new friends and everything.
Huh? Exactly, right. Yeah.
Well, good. And so now but you're based here in Atlanta now.
Mm-hmm. Right now I am, and I've got a show right now up for consideration at Turner Sports. So we'll see how that goes. Well, we've got the lockout we're dealing with, so... So hopefully the future, things will turn around.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, you have a show up for consideration, and that's kind of piqued my interest because that's around sales, right? So tell us about the show, and then I want to understand how you go about selling.
Well, I can tell you a little bit about the show, but you know what I'll have to do if I tell you all the
whole thing. Okay, got it. Yeah, we won't go.
You get
there.
That. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a small room. I think I'm within.
Stone, you going to back him up?
Yeah, I got you, man.
You got my back, brother.
He's my co-host, man. I'm there for you.
Well, it's a family show, and it can translate to any sport. So it could be baseball, football, whatever sport. And it's really a good concept, and that's how it got to the top. So we'll see what happens.
So when you say it can go for any show, what happens in the show? So is it normally we interview the athletes?
It's semi-reality show. It's a semi-reality show, but it takes somebody through a sport. I focus on girls. It could be guys, too. So I sort of pitched in general. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how did you come up with this idea for the show? Is this?
It was just my own concept. I think that growing up, my brother and I, we both were raised the same way by my dad, who was a Marine, because he was a single father. And so I was out there playing sports just like my brother. And, running, jumping. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I played baseball. I know you, I'm not making this up. Okay.
No.
Don't look at me like that.
No,
I played baseball with no mitts.
So for all
okay, they're not going to give a mitt to a girl.
Nothing for nothing, but
I'm
for
telling
the audience,
you,
is the audience, so that you can tune in to see the show, is, and I'll put up some of the photos for her modeling work here.
That ought to help the numbers a little bit, I would think.
Yeah, she's phenomenally beautiful, and I'm stunning. And she's walking in, and she's navigating these stilettos, as I call them, and I'm not sure they're not stilettos.
But isn't that kind of a good old boys network, the whole sports world?
Yes.
And so talk to us a little bit about how you navigate that world. Is there a way to leverage the beauty, or do you have to
poo-poo it and downplay it?
Or?
It's interesting that you ask that, because I have been confronted with that, and some men have told me, give me a break. That's why you got in here. And I said, well, okay, I'll give you that. I said, but once I get in the door, I need to know what I'm talking about. And I said, and I do. And so that... You know,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's going to get you in the door, but you have to represent when you get in the door.
Exactly. That's true in sales across the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's probably even a steeper climb, I wonder. So let's say if you're Martin Sheen's son, that gets you the audition.
Right.
But then they're like, okay, now let me see what you probably even harder. So it's, it has its own set of challenges.
That's true.
Right.
Because
right.
if you enter the and start saying winning, I'm winning. It's not necessarily
I know. I know, because I think in a way men are a little bit harder on me, because they think they'll test me a little more, because they think I don't know sports, or they think that maybe it's just something I like or something I'm interested in, but that's not the case.
That's probably, I could see that. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. I have a bias when I see women on the sidelines during the football games interviewing some of the, you know, the coaches or the athletes, and it's like, is it a pretty face? Or then she opens her mouth and she actually represents. Mm-hmm. She knows what she's asking and talking, and asks some tough questions, which
I
thought was great.
Right, and I like that. I do, because I believe I'm more than a pretty face, and I think that I do bring the rest of it. And that's why the idea came to me for my own show, is that I didn't, and nothing against the women who do sideline. I'm not against that, but I'm just saying that I wanted to have something more than back to you, Dave.
A little more meaty.
Right.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, now, so this was your idea. You created it and then pitched it. How did you find someone to pitch it to?
Well, it was through my Paying It Forward, Steve. Can I tell that story?
Absolutely.
Okay. I was early for a meeting. I was going to meet someone from Girl Talk. It's a girls mentoring organization. Oh. So I was early. So I was in Starbucks, and I happened to meet this gentleman, and we started talking. And he said, well, would you come and talk to the girls in my church, and talk about body image, the media, what's important being a young woman today?
Wow.
Of course I'll do that.
Outstanding.
So further down the line, the concept idea came to me, and I thought, let me go back to this gentleman and see if perhaps he has connections. Well, he did. So that led me to the next connection, to the next one. And so it just happened that I was open to talking to new people. In that, I think it came from, obviously, my military background, being able to adjust.
Well, and navigate 11 different schools, you're going to have to survive.
Right. And being able to read the defense real fast and say, okay, well, this setup looks good. Well, let me keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, somewhere in the fray, though, and we were talking beforehand, there's something about a party where you got a chance to meet somebody.
Yes.
So how did this unfold?
Yes. Okay, well, I was invited to this one event, and I wasn't actually part of the group. And so I was introduced to this one gentleman. I really didn't know who he was. His name was said really fast. So, okay. And he looked.
Now, when you say this party was, it was a kind of highfalutin
type
party,
wasn't it? Yes, it was. It was a highfalutin party.
So is this sort of like a wedding crashers type of thing going on?
You know what? Are you calling me a wedding crasher?
No. I'm, but if it fits, you know.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
So he looks at me, this gentleman looks at me, and he says, what are you here for? He says, what do you want? I said, what do I want?
It's a rather confrontational type of question.
Don't you think? And I said, you know what I want? I want people to stop hating on LeBron. I said, it's over, okay? He left Cleveland. Get a clue. I said, he came in. He scored 38 points. Shut up. And he goes, okay. And so anyway, well, I found out later who he was. He was a top-level producer at a sports network. And... And so that I got a meeting with him. But I was just being myself, and he asked me what I wanted, and that's what I said I wanted.
Wow. I think that's a great story. And and the reason you had shared that with me a little bit, and I think it's even richer now that you share it now, is because it's all about sales. It's a little bit of a cold call. It's a little bit of, you know, why not try something completely different? And if you had not been your outstanding, outgoing self, said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know. Am I in the wrong place? What might have happened? That might have changed the whole dynamic.
Right.
So I think the lesson that I see from that, you know, from the selling perspective is be bold. Because you are, I mean, it's kind of not your routine because you're kind of a shy,
oh,
quiet,
do you think so?
Type
yeah,
of person.
Yeah, wallflower
yeah,
type.
I know, mm-hmm. I'm about to be shy.
Yeah, I know.
Those are the audience. All right,
yeah,
good.
Mm-hmm.
Stone, stop laughing so hard. All right.
It's not easy watching you two work and not laughing.
I know. I can't wait for my wife to listen to this one. Finally, someone puts you in your place, Steve.
Steven.
All right. Oh, no, that's my mother. That's Steven's my mom. All right, never mind. So,
okay.
Moving on.
And it was, wait, just to follow up on LeBron thing, it wasn't that I was a huge fan of his, but when everything happened and he went to Miami and they had that big display, there was so much hate on him that
right.
I thought, okay, let's just see what he does. Let's see what LeBron and D-Wade and Bosch, let's see what they do.
Right.
And we got the proof.
Well, they've done something, right?
Exactly.
They could do more. Now, with that said, so that really resulted in you being bold in that particular situation, attending this party, introducing yourself and making an impression on this individual, obviously. That resulted in you pitching your show.
That resulted in a meeting, which just furthered me down the line, but didn't actually put me in that direction. But it just kept me going in the sports field.
The sports field.
Yes.
And so did you pitch the show, or is that...
That was a different
like
occasion. That was That was a different occasion.
Because what I'm hearing is, you know, today, and I think about it, is, and my initial thought was, in the entertainment industry, it's not all that complex of a sale. It's you show up for an audition, you make it or you don't, and that's done. But there's a lot more complexity here.
Oh, right.
Hearing.
Yes. Yeah, there is.
So
because
there's multiple
right,
stages.
Because the audition that you get sent on by your agent, you get the sides, that's the copy, or if it's a movie, that's about 2 pages of it. And so you'll go ahead and you'll prepare based on 2 pages only. You won't even have the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just prepare the audition. You go in. You present it. And like I was telling you outside, this is who I am. If I show up, this is what I would bring.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if this works for you, then great. If it doesn't, that's okay too.
So, and I was thinking about it as we were talking earlier, is that not only are you pitching shows in this case,
mm-hmm.
Or another case, right. But you're also going out on multiple auditions.
Yes.
And you get, I'm sure that you've had your shares of no's.
Oh, a lot of no's. You get mainly no's.
Yeah.
They're not always polite no's either, right?
No, you just...
Or even a good reason, right?
Well, you don't, that's the thing, Stone, you don't even know the reason. There's
right.
no,
right.
yeah, you don't know why you didn't get the job.
Huh.
There's no way to know.
Well, you know, I find that interesting is that since, you know, people say that, well, if you're in sales, you must be really have a thick skin because you can handle rejection. And I'm thinking, you know, first off, salespeople are probably one of the more sensitive people. You know, I'm not a fighter, I'm a lover, as they say. Right. Tito, give me a tissue. But really, in the entertainment world or as an actor, you're
Man,
out there.
You got to be tough.
You got to be mm-hmm. tough.
Yeah. You really do. You really do. And I think with all the explosion of things going on here in Atlanta, all of the movies and projects they're shooting, there are a lot of people coming out of the woodwork thinking, I can be an actor, I can be an actor. Well, it's not that easy. It really mm-hmm. isn't easy to do it well.
Well, that's interesting. So, because I've been hearing rumblings around that Atlanta is really a growing epicenter
mm-hmm.
for
it
artists,
is.
Or not artists, but for movies.
Right,
I'm saying.
Right.
And so, what's happening here in the space? I don't have any clue.
Well, ever since they built out Screen Gems and Tyler Perry has expanded his reach,
right.
And it is real, and there's a lot of movies being shot here. I don't know what the latest figures are, millions and millions. That it brings to the economy
of
Georgia.
I was hearing the Bette Midler's in town
mm-hmm.
Shooting a show. And
I think with Billy Crystal.
Well, Billy Crystal, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he retired, but that's a whole other story.
No, he's still in.
All right. Jeez,
he thought he retired.
I like Billy. He's funny.
I do, too, you know. So auditions and how that relates to sales is that you're going to go in, make your pitch to pitch yourself,
right.
And you don't know what they're really looking
no,
for.
No, you don't know what they're looking for, and that's what, and I told you, I coach acting as well, and so I coach my students into, it doesn't matter what they're looking for, because I don't know what they want. It doesn't matter what they want.
Well, that's interesting, because in the sales world, what I teach and what we consult around is really, you need to understand your buying influences concept.
Mm-hmm.
What are they trying to fix, accomplish, or avoid? What are they, what's their solution image? What do they want to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the whole process that I work with my clients on is to help figure that out. In your case, you're not able to do that.
No, because we don't know what the casting director might have in his mind, because generally they'll give an age range, like 30 to 40. Okay, we want 30 to 40 women, and they'll give us the sides. And then we do something with it. And then we present our take, and then sometimes the director doesn't know until he sees it in front of him. Oh, that's what I want. See?
Oh,
so you
okay.
can't
wow.
worry. Yeah, wow. so you can't really consider, oh, because you'd go crazy. It's like, this is who I am. Really,
right.
this is who I am. Here are the words. This is how I would say it.
Interesting. Yeah, that's. I can see the parallel, because a lot of times their concept, as we call it, isn't fully formed, is
right.
what I'm saying.
Right. That's they don't know it, they don't know until they've seen it. And then sometimes when you're selling something, say hair color. Okay, mm-hmm. are you really selling hair color? If you want a real morale boost, have some fun with your hair color. Okay, are we really selling that? No. We're selling a transformation. If you buy this, you are going to feel so different. And when your guy looks at you, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we're selling. The words don't say that, but my tone of voice can say that.
Got it.
you know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Are you feeling that?
I am. I feel. along those lines, I have the Cialis commercial coming through my head, and all that just. It
Stone.
Reminds me. All I see is bathtubs and Cialis. So
what is
saying?
I don't know what that means.
I'm
going to
be clean. If I take Cialis, I'm going to be clean.
I don't know what that means.
Well, I knew the hair color metaphor wasn't going to go real far with you. This is one of those times that I wish we had video and audio.
Yeah, that's right, too.
Would that be fabulous? Hey, can you work that out for us, Stone?
I'll see what I can
do. Let's get on that.
Do we need to explore the Cialis thing in this episode?
No, I think on that note, I think moving on.
Si, senor.
So... All right, so we see how it ties together. So now you have a show, but you've done some other acting. So tell us about some of the other gigs and other things that you've done.
Oh, goodness. I've done commercials and film, and the one indie film I did in California, it won the best comedy in the Southern California Film Festival.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it was the most fun. It was, I think, the most fun shoot of my whole life.
Can we find it on Netflix?
Well, it's called Save Ron Jr. I don't know. You might. I don't know. Look it up. Save.
But don't you eat really well when you're on the job? If you get on a real movie, don't they have great food?
Oh, yeah.
It's like First Cabin, right?
Oh, yeah. It's good. Yeah, it is good.
Well, I have a buddy that in Die Hard 2, he is the co-pilot that when they land at the very end safely, he's redheaded Steve Pershing, and he goes, whoosh. And that's, I mean, he was there on set for like 3 weeks, never saw Bruce Willis. And they paid him really well, and he said he ate like a king, and he played cards, you know, right up until the time to...
Just for...
He doesn't have 5 seconds in this film.
That's funny. That's funny.
But the advanced press, to those of us that don't know anything about it, is that you're treated really well while you're there and paid pretty well. Even
yes,
as a small-time actor, is that
it
right?
It could happen that way.
Oh, that's not necessarily
I think that's an exception to the rule, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I do. I believe your friend was very fortunate.
Really?
Yes,
well,
I do.
Independent films, I would imagine. Mm. You don't have big a budget.
It's a little, yeah. It's a little different.
Okay.
It is, yeah.
So now, but you're focusing all of your efforts now on... really sports. And broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And so what kind of chops you have about broadcasting?
I write it. Excusez-moi, s'il vous plaît.
Well, I mean,
enough with the Spanish already.
No,
yeah,
that was French. You know what?
All right. So with that said, give us. We talked about LeBron.
Sport, okay. Yes. And
you had
and
you, said
I told
something
you,
about immaculate reception. I said that correctly.
I did. Well, what happened was I worked with Ben Davidson. Now he was a member of the Oakland Raiders. Seventies Oakland Raiders, and I had the chance to talk with him at this one event. And I asked him, I said, were you on the field? Were you playing, you know, during the Steelers-Raiders game back in 72? And he said, no. He said that he was injured, so he was watching from the box. And I said, could you believe that? And so we went and we rehashed the whole thing. I know you know what it was, right?
I vaguely so this is, I mean,
Steelers. Okay, Steelers.
So
okay.
Let's give it the situation.
Okay. So it's 72, Steelers-Raiders. Okay. And Raiders were up 7-6. And...
this is a big game.
Huge. Okay. Yeah, yes, because Steelers only kicked 2 field goals. Jarrella kicked 2. And then, so Oakland was in the lead. It was 4th and hopeless. Okay,
fourth
I'm
hopeless.
Saying hopeless.
Okay.
22 seconds left in the game, mister. Okay, so Bradshaw drops back. He's scrambling. He throws downfield, hits Frenchie Fuqua, hits him, bounces off. Here comes Franco out of nowhere.
Franco Harris.
It comes in his vicinity. He scoops it up and runs into the end zone. Game over.
Wow.
It was insane. Stone, you remember that?
I am old enough to remember that. That was
Can you
cool.
believe? So, it was insane. So that's okay. Sorry. I got to calm down a little. Okay. So then in the replay, the fans mobbed the field. They were in the end zone. They couldn't even see Franco. It was like he was totally right. mobbed. Okay. So Ben and I were rehashing this whole thing. He goes, I cannot believe we lost that game. It's like, because here I was all jazzed for the Steelers, right? Because my dad's from Pittsburgh, because I grew up on the Steelers and the Pirates. So I grew up on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. We lived everything Steelers, Pirates, please. And so when we were rehashing this game, he just looked at me. But Ben was a great guy. Very nice. He's huge. I don't know how tall he is, but he is really tall.
He's big boned.
Big boned.
I do not know, but he was a very kind person, and he does a lot of charity work.
No, where'd you meet him? In
San Diego.
San Diego, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and it was a charity event for a children's hospital or something.
Now, how did you meet him? Or was it just a
children's
charity
hospital.
Event?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I was
talking
there.
About,
I
and
was
I know you're
well.
A big power on LinkedIn also, so how?
I'm huge on LinkedIn.
I know.
Stephen, isn't that how we met? We met at Rome, but I found out about the event on LinkedIn.
How
did I not
get huge on LinkedIn? Just keep saying yes when people invite you?
Look, I'm very discriminating. Look, what are you trying to say?
I don't know. I have.
Why don't you tell it like it is?
I'm not big on the LinkedIn thing.
Why not?
I'm a fan. I just
you're a fan.
I'm not this overly worked, especially for somebody who is a pretty major owner in a business talk radio network. I don't have that.
Yeah, we need to kick up your game.
I think he does need to step up his game. You need a little assistance there?
I guess I need to say yes more often. I don't know.
You don't say yes to everybody.
You know?
Well, you could try my approach. I do.
What's your approach?
I'm a very promiscuous networker on LinkedIn.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah. I say yes to pretty much everybody.
How about that?
I think I'm up to about 9,500 direct connections.
You are?
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm really somewhere south of that.
Are you really? Okay.
Well,
no.
But it serves a different purpose for me. So I use the tool for my sales efforts and my marketing efforts. Yeah. So a little bit of a different approach, because then it's sort of like I'm going to be connected to Stone, and if I wanted to connect to other people inside his organization at Business Radio X, chances are people that he works with are going to be connected to him. So it's sort of when I first connect to Stone, it's sort of like I'm turning on a switch. I get to see everybody inside of Business Radio X. Mm-hmm. And so that now is sort of the same with any organization. So if I'm prospecting into a large Fortune 500 type of company, I don't have a lot of traction. I can go and connect with one person that works at that organization, and it's sort of like the switch gets thrown. I get to see all these other people inside the organization that I'm connected to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes a big difference. That's how I'm using the tool for a lot of research.
Okay.
So, but also, we met at Rome, but you met through using and leveraging the tool, and I see that you're also often
on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I'm all over it. Yeah.
So.
And then I was telling you earlier to be aware of different things when you're looking at LinkedIn and just reading the homepage and the different feeds. And so one day I was looking and I saw Rocky Blyer, who was an ex Pittsburgh Steeler.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he was recommending Chris Mascaro Thursday Night Tailgate, and I thought, what's that? So I clicked on that, and I linked in with Chris. And so then I started listening to his show on Blog Talk Radio, and then I went back and listened to the show that he did with Rocky and the interview with Rocky.
Yeah.
And it was insane. And so I was so impressed that I went, and then I connected with Rocky Blyer. And so then I'm going to Pittsburgh in a couple of weeks for a Steeler camp. Women. They do, in the summer, they do a special camp for guys, and it's a whole deal.
Okay.
But us girls have been clamoring for a long time for something for us. Right.
Yes, okay.
Right. And so And so they're having one, and I'm going to run up there for that. It's the first weekend in December. And so I contacted Rocky's camp, and I'm hoping to get an interview with him. So positive thoughts.
Congratulations.
Shout out to Rocky.
Yeah.
So what are you going to interview? What are you going to ask?
Well, I'm still working on that. You want to help me?
Sure.
Okay.
What a crazy name, Rocky.
Just,
that's nuts.
Do you know how he got that nickname? It's a nickname.
All right,
well, I got this off Wikipedia, so I don't know. Should I say it?
Absolutely.
It was something about how when his father went in and saw a group of guys and they said, "Hey, how's that kid? How's your kid?" And he goes, he's like a rock. He's a rock." And so I guess that's
so
how
just
it stuck.
Yeah.
Stuck, huh?
Mm-hmm. I was teasing. Of course, I have an uncle named Rock, and we used to work in the same business, my uncle's consulting firm, in the basement packing boxes. So you'd call. And you'd call and say, they'd ask for Rock, and I'd say, "No, this is Stone." They thought I was messing with them.
You were messing
with
them.
But it really is Rock's name, and Stone really is my name.
It's not a nickname.
It's a family name. It's my grandmother's maiden name. But I've always liked having Stone. A name like that people remember, and they remember.
Absolutely.
Rock,
they do.
You know?
It's true.
Well, you're an unforgettable individual anyway, Stone.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely.
I'm not very well linked, that's all. It's got to get
more
linked.
Well, we're gonna help you with that. We're going to help you. But then the follow-up to the story, when Chris was interviewing Rocky on his show, he was telling him, Rocky went to Notre Dame, then he went into the Army. And then while he was in Vietnam, he was injured. He was awarded the Purple Heart. Mm-hmm. So he was in the hospital in Tokyo. And the doctors told him, "You're not going to play football again." And so,
really?
Yes.
Ouch.
And so, I know. And so what happened was, soon after that, he received a postcard from Art Rooney, who was the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And the postcard said, "Rock, the team's not doing well. We need you, Art Rooney." I mean, can you imagine?
Wow. When he's recovering and he's
back
from Vietnam?
He was in the hospital in Tokyo. That's when he got that postcard. From Art Rooney. And I thought, when I heard that story on the air, I just thought, what a great story. I've got to meet this guy.
Absolutely.
I know.
Now, did he go back and play?
Yes.
He did.
Yes, he came back. Yeah, he was. Yep. And he retired after the 1980 season. But I think he was part of 4 Super Bowl winning teams. I do believe that, yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I want to look that up.
I know. I really would just so love to meet him and interview him.
Absolutely. So.
Well, I think after you tell him that you've been on Business Radio
X. Do you think that'll work? That'll give me some.
Will
that give me some street cred?
Absolutely.
I would think so.
Okay.
Well, I think, why don't you practice with us?
I'm going to run with that. You know what? Don't make me hurt you.
No, sir. Practice.
Don't make me hurt
you.
Who's going to be Rocky? You?
No, I'm not going to be Rocky. Tell you what, let's see, you can practice that. Why don't you interview us on Atlanta Sales Talk
Radio?
Oh,
now I got to prepare. What do I got to know?
Yeah, well,
okay, so I'm turning the tables. Am I going to turn the tables on you?
This is where we turn the tables.
All right, I'm turning them.
Is this for real?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm turning the tables on you.
A show with, it's like being in the fun house.
Handing
like
off
a show
the show.
You know what?
Do you want intro music and the whole thing?
What do you want?
Let's the music.
Give us what we want, Stone.
All right, are you ready now? Or do people need to go do your homework? Do we need to take a break? Do we need to break to commercial? What are we doing here?
Yeah? She's good
you
on her feet.
Intro?
I can feel it. She's
all right,
good on her feet.
All right, let me cue something up.
All right, come on.
Okay.
Come on, Stone.
We are live in 5, 4, 3.
Hello, this is Karen Cook, and this is Atlanta Sales Talk Radio. This is a special edition. And here with me today is Steve Cadley. With a sales execution. Now, that's really spelled interesting. Will you tell me what that's all about?
Well, Karen, thank you so much for asking. It's actually a brainchild of my wife and I, and we're looking at sales is one thing, learning how to sell, but then really it's about execution of a sales process. And so really that we combine the two, sales and execution, to sales execution. Or sales execution.
Oh.
Depends on how you want to pronounce it.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that's I appreciate you noticing that.
Of course. And also, I see you have a master's in OD, and help me out.
OD, right. So what is that, right? So
yeah.
It's a master's in organizational behavior, if you will. It's organization development, where you go in and really, let me back up. It's a long story. So my wife is, after many a successful selling career in corporate America, decided she wanted to go back to school and get her master's in counseling psychology. So she is a phenomenal therapist counselor. And so as she was going through here, and I was studying a lot and helping her study for some of her books, reading, Freud and all the rest of these different names.
That's
interesting. Jung. I became intrigued. But I knew I couldn't do one-on-one counseling. And so I discovered in my research this thing called organization development, which effectively is you're a therapist to an organization.
Okay.
It works with the cell, the individual, works with teams, and then it works at the larger systems level. And really with my background in sales, there was a great synergy there. So I got my master's from American University up in D.C. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the top programs that does more of an experiential process.
Okay.
And so this is an executive program, 2 years, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, very intense. And came out and decided to hang out my own shingle, doing change management. Then, after a short period of time, married my skill set my experience with organization development, transformation, change, leadership development, mm-hmm. to tying that into the sales process. What's happening in the sales world today?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really my focus, is really doing sales transformation, sales organizational realignment between selling and marketing, and changing the model from sales being a department to being a culture and an approach for the organization. Because everyone's in sales, that's one of my famous sayings, everyone's in sales. So from the CEO down to operations, down to customer service, all impact the sales process. So we need to have everybody in alignment with that process.
Agree.
And so the practice, the focus of sales execution is really creating alignment organizationally around selling and the sales process, and use different methodologies to create that. But I'm a big fan of Miller Hyman. Miller Hyman is a sales performance company. It's been around 30 years.
They're based out of Atlanta?
They're based out of Reno, Nevada.
Oh, okay.
Bob Miller and Steve Hyman wrote the book, in my mind, Strategic Selling, back, I guess, 25, 26 years ago. And I've used that methodology, that book, throughout my sales career to a great deal of success.
Okay.
And so when it was time for me to partner with someone that had some street credibility around sales process and methodology, Miller Hyman.
There you go.
And plus, they had made me a lot of money. I used their process.
Well, that does help.
Yeah. When you use their selling process throughout my sales career,
mm-hmm.
they made me a lot of money. So I was like, all right, I'm going to use their intellectual property. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I use as the basis for my consulting or
okay.
working with sales execution. So, yeah.
Wow. That's a lot.
There's a lot. That's a
lot of information.
Well, that was a great question.
I'm telling
you.
Okay. Well, then why don't you tell me some more about Business Radio X?
Actually, Business Radio X, great show, great opportunity, great idea. And I'm going to defer a little bit to
Stone.
My co-host Stone. But share us a little bit more about Business Radio X and how this came about and some of your brain ideas around this.
Well, yeah, they weren't my ideas, actually. They were Lee Cantor's, but I was a client before I was an equity owner in Business Radio X. And I started having my own radio show because it looked to me like the perfect platform to meet the people that I wanted to meet. In the training consulting arena, which is where I've spent most of my career, and you know this, Steve, sometimes it's very difficult just to get on somebody's radar, a true decision maker's radar, and have a substantive conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a golfer. I know there are people that will put together, a golf outing, and they get a lot of business done on the golf course. I'm not a golfer, and I never really was that great of a networker and the handshaker and that kind of stuff. But it looked to me like, man, if you could invite people to come on your radio show and shine the light on them and give them a chance to articulate what they do and how they're serving their community, that you would be serving your arena.
Mm-hmm.
And in
right.
the process, you'd be getting to know somebody. And so it sort of became my golf, was having your own little radio show.
Wow.
And the more I watched other people doing what I was doing, I got very enamored with the whole idea, and so Lee and I just started talking more and more. And bottom line is, I jumped onto his coattails, and I'm not letting go. But it's a lot of fun because, as you see in here every week, Steve, everybody you talk to that comes through here, they're very smart mm-hmm. about whatever their thing is, right? I mean, Karen knows her stuff. You know
Absolutely.
Your stuff. And they're very passionate and happy and upbeat and enthusiastic about what they're doing. So you're around smart, happy people all the time, and you are genuinely serving their community. And I'll tell you something that it really never dawned on me till about 6 months ago. And I've had a show for almost 3 years now, and I've been working directly with Lee for close to two now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was already getting sort of that golf benefit, right? You get to mm-hmm. you get to know people and network in a non-salesy kind of way. But the other thing that we've discovered is with all these social media platforms, I mean, those engines are great, but they are thirsty for content. And I know a lot of people really struggle with, well, how do I generate enough content to feed this beast? And I got to tell you, when you have a weekly radio show, you have two or three folks in here every week, and you're asking them to talk about their business, and sometimes they bring their clients. And now you've got this content engine, and it's not fluff. You know, I mean, it's really good, meaningful stuff. So that's probably more than you want to know, but that's we're doing.
And I love the model, too, to help, you know, talk about the Business Radio X concept is it's not Blog Talk Radio, even though we broadcast out over the internet. It's very much around... It creates an environment where you're here in our studio, right? You put your game face on. And so I look at that as that all the hosts, all the guests that we've had, they get a little excited. And they put their game face on and they represent when they step in and sit in front of the mic.
Right.
And I think that's a big differentiator for Business Radio X. And I like to think that I'm bringing a little special sauce to Atlanta Sales Talk Radio.
It really is. It's a nice blend, I think. I mean, I'm a techno idiot. I have some level of appreciation for these social media platforms and the Twitter and all that business.
Absolutely.
But I don't really get it like a lot of folks do and like people like you do. But it's nice for even people like me to have this platform. It's a nice blend of the new technological, all that cutting-edge stuff, and the old-fashioned, look you in the eye, shake your hand, and get to know you. That's a real easy networking event conversation to have. It's an easy call to make to invite someone on your show or even suggest, hey, you ought to be on Steve Cadley's show.
Right.
That's an easy phone call to make as opposed to, hey, you ought to have a cup of coffee with Steve Cadley and maybe he'll sell you something.
Yeah, right.
It's just
right.
an easier.
Yeah. it's interesting too from my perspective. Yeah. When I first was asked by Stone to be on his show, this is 2 years ago now, it created a little bit of a, whoa, you know, they like me, right, type of thing. And at the same time, it created a little bit of that, oh, my God, what am I going to talk about, you know? Stone made it so easy, and I think
it
really...
He does make it easy. What a guy.
He is a great guy.
Well, I'll tell you what it takes to be a good host, at least the two characteristics that I found have served me very well, ignorance and curiosity. Because I don't know anything, and I'm genuinely curious.
Yes.
With those two characteristics in place, you can be a pretty good radio host, I think.
Absolutely. I like that idea. So...
Oh, that is funny.
So, Stone, I think we've talked about Business Radio X. We've talked about sales execution and Atlanta Sales Talk Radio.
And see, I just thought it was a typo. When she asked you about sales, I just figured it was a typo. But there was actually a story behind
there was a story behind
there.
Absolutely.
There was a story behind it.
So, well, how do you think Karen did? Is she ready for interviewing Rocky?
I think she's ready for prime time. Absolutely.
I think you are, too.
Thanks, guys.
So, all right. Well, I think we're about to wrap up our show here. Is there any last thoughts that you have, Karen?
Nope. Always moving forward. Stay positive.
I like that.
Yep.
So with that, I like to remind everybody that everyone is in sales. And so stay happy. Keep selling. And Stone and I, thanks so much for tuning in.